What we have been talking about the past few weeks is the idea of not mixing meat and milk. And we talked about the basic idea, which is that we cannot cook meat together with milk. But as we've talked in the following weeks, is the extent to which we must separate meat and milk. So what we focused on for a brief while is how we separate meat and milk within our eating. So how far apart must we eat meat and dairy? Can we eat dairy after meat or meat after dairy? The different permutations of that, how long we have to wait in order that they shouldn't accidentally be mixed inside of us. What we're going to focus on today is not the eating of meat and milk, but it's the storage or the placement of meat in relation to milk. Can you put meat and milk near each other? How close is considered to be near each other? What do you have is Does the same rule apply in all situations? Does it apply when you're just placing it rather than when you're eating it? But here we're not talking about time or cooking method. Rather, we're talking about physical proximity one to the other. Okay, so with that, we are going to begin with source number 19, which is a Mishnah in Maseches Chulin. So the Mishnah states, Sorer Adam Basar Vigvina B'mipachat Achad. A person wishes to put meat and cheese together in the same mipachat, in the same cloth, v'bilvad shelo yinog in ze bazeh. We say that this is okay as long as they are not touching one another. When I'm imagining a mipachat, I'm imagining like a picnic blanket, like a rucksack, like where you take the blanket, you put the foods inside, and you wrap it up together in order to carry it. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that is okay as long as they're not touching one another. However, the Gemara in Maseches Chulin in source number 20 tells us, but what happens if they do touch one another? Because the idea that you're going to put both inside one cloth and the two aren't going to touch each other seems a little improbable. So the next step that we ask is, but what happens if they do touch one another? So the Gemara says the first question we are going to ask is it something cold with something cold? Amar Abaye. Nihi de klipa lobai hadacha. And then the next question we are going to ask is it something that needs to be rinsed or is it something that is peeled? Mi lobai. So he says that these are the questions we are going to have. So what the Gemara is really telling us is that if that one it asks these multiple questions of cold, is it something peelable? Is it something that would re be required to be rinsed if it wasn't peelable? So, in the case of one cold food in contact with another cold food, they don't absorb one for another. And therefore, Abaye says, granted that cold foods do not require the peeling of the plate. So, cold food touching cold food would be okay. But he says, we also understand that a cold food and a cold food, if one does not need to be peeled, do we still say it's okay? And we say, nevertheless, don't they require rinsing? So, if they can't be peeled, we require that they be rinsed. And therefore, Chazal wanted to rule against this whole idea of cold touching cold because it would still be required to be rinsed. And what if they touched one another and you forgot to rinse it? So this is how the Shulchan Aruch rules. Now, what the Gemara is telling us is that really technically, if one cold food touches another cold food, we should be okay. And that, but it would require rinsing. So any situation that can come up with a caveat like that one may potentially forget to do, we're very wary to apply broadly. So if we look in source number 21, that's the Shulchan Aruch, Basar v'gvina shenagu zo bazo. Cheese and meat that touched one another, mutarim, they are allowed, ella shetzarich lahadiach makom nigiatan, but you have to rinse the place where they touched one another. But you are allowed to store them in one cloth. And we're not worried that one will touch the other. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch rules, even though the Gemara had these multiple questions, the Shulchan Aruch rules that two cold foods we're not worried about because if they touch each other, you're just going to have to rinse off the spot. And therefore, you would be allowed to store them together in one storage thing because we're not worried that they're going to touch one another. Okay, so the Shach cites the Bach that if the foods are dry when they touch, then they do not require rinsing. So that would be, I guess, that what is a dry dairy food? I don't know. Anything that two foods that were dry that touched each other, they would not require rinsing. But the Mishnah also indicates that one may not place meat and dairy together on the table, which a person is eating, but is permitted to place them on a table used for preparing. So we're now moving on from just storing the foods next to each other, which we said it's okay to store them next to each other in the same thing, because even if they touch each other, if they're both cold, assuming you're storing cold things, that if they're cold and they touch each other, you would rinse them. The only exception to that is that if they were dry when they touched each other, then you don't need to rinse them and then make them wet. Now we're moving on to, can you put foods on the same table? So if you have a meat food and a dairy food, can you put them on the same table? You're not carrying them anywhere. Now you're setting up for the picnic. Can you put them on the same table? So in source number two, this is addressed by the Mishnah in Maseches Pulin. Kol habasar asur levashel b'chalav. It is asur, it is not allowed to cook any meat in chalav, in dairy. Chutz mibasar dagim v'chagavim, except for the meat of fish or the meat of grasshoppers. That would, of course, have to be the type of kosher grasshoppers. We're not talking about non-kosher food here. That is a different discussion. V'asur l'ha'alot im hagvina al hashulchan. Any meat, not only can you not cook it with dairy, but you can't put it with dairy on the same table. Chutz mibasar dagim v'chagavim, unless it is the meat of fish or the meat of grasshoppers. Ha'of ole im hagvina, the chicken that is placed together with milk, ala shulchan, ve'eno nochal, divrei be'shamai. So now they're saying, we've already said basar, real meat, you cannot put on the same table as dairy, unless it's fish or grasshoppers. But now we're asking about chicken, which for us, we think of completely together with meat. But practically, when we're talking here within very specific details of basar v'chalav, at this point in the Gemara and the Mishnah, they're still talking about chicken potentially as a separate category. So ha'of ola im hagvina ala shulchan ve'eno nochal. Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai tells us that you can put chicken on the same table as cheese as long as you're not eating it. The Beis Hillel omrim lo ola velo nochal. But Beis Hillel tells us that we can't put it on the same table and we can't eat it. Amar Rabbi Yossi zo mikulei Beis Shammai. We are told that this is one of the bigger kulas of Beis Shammai, v'michumrei Beis Hillel. And this is one of the chumras of Hillel. V'ezo shulchan amru. But now the Mishnah goes on and says, when Hillel and Shammai are both talking about not putting meat and dairy or chicken and dairy onto the same table, what kind of table are they talking about? V'shulchan she'ochal alav. Specifically, they are talking about a table on which you eat. But on a table upon which you are preparing the food, you can put one next to the other and not be worried. What I imagine in this situation is there's the table that you eat on, but then there's also your prep area. So that would be like a counter space. For me in my kitchen, I have an island in the middle of the kitchen where I prepare everything. So sometimes what could be happening is, let's say my kids took their breakfast bowls and they, before they left for school, they left them on the corner of the counter. So I have some bowls with cereal and milk sitting on the corner of the counter, and I've not yet gotten around to cleaning them out and putting them in the sink and cleaning up my area. But I have to quickly put something in the oven to prepare it for dinner. So in one corner of my workspace, I have dairy. And now in another part, I want to prepare meat. What we say here is that that prep area, that would be allowed. That's not a shulchan at which we are going to eat. That's a shulchan for preparation. And therefore, it has a different status from a table upon which you eat. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says as well. Afilu basar chaya ve'of. Asor l'ha'aloto al shulchan she'ochal alav gvina. Even if it is meat of a wild animal or it is chicken, it is asur to put it on the same table as dairy if this is a dairy upon which you eat. Shelo yavo l'achlam yachad, so that you don't come to eat them together. Aval b'shulchan she'soder alav hatafshil, but on the table upon which you prepare the food, mutar litin ze basad ze, you're able to put one next to the other. So what does it seem like the reasoning is here? The reasoning is so that you don't come to eat it together. When you're in your prep area, you're used to having multiple things going on at once. Think about even preparing for Shabbos. How often are you preparing multiple dishes at the same time? That you know that they don't go together. I hope you're not preparing meat and dairy at the same time. But the idea is that a prep space is used for that, for preparation, that multiple things can be going on at the same time. Whereas in eating space, we intend that everything that's there can be eaten together, that once something is put on the table, it's meant to be part of the meal, and therefore there is the fear that you would come to eat it together. So in the Mishnah, it wasn't so clear what exactly the distinction was, but once it comes to the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, Shelo yavo la'achla miyachad, that clues us in to the reason why we're focusing on making such a separation here. So the Shach points out that this prohibition applies only to basar v'chalav and not a table with non-kosher food on it. So if we look in the Shach in source number 24, v'nir ed dafka basar asur laha'alot al shulchan she'ochal chalav o ichba mishum delo bedile inche mine mipnei she'kol achad heter b'fnei atzmo aval mutar laha'alot basar nevela al shulchan she'ochal alav basar k'sheira. So he says there's two different situations. The first situation is there is a table where people are sitting down to eat. And if you were to put kosher meat and kosher dairy, people would feel like they're allowed to eat anything that's on the table. And therefore, we would fear that they would end up mixing them together. However, if there was a table, v'lefiza asur l'ha'alo, oh, sorry, we'll get to that in a second. Aval mutar l'ha'alo basar nevela ala shulchan she'ochal alav basar k'sheira. If the whole family is sitting down to a meal and you put out all of the food and then you take a bag from McDonald's that you, I don't know why you ended up with a bag from McDonald's, but you put the bag from McDonald's on the table, nobody's going to eat that. Nobody's going to worry that all of a sudden the family's going to start eating the McDonald's. It's very clearly apparent that that's something we don't eat. So when it's two foods that we do eat, a meat food and a dairy food, perhaps especially if they're not so obvious, like something that could be made pariv or could be made dairy, that's put on the table with meat, that's going to be very confusing because it's all available to us. But if we're putting something that's clearly not kosher on the table, we believe that people have that boundary that they recognize that they're not going to eat that. So therefore, you can put non-kosher meat on the same table upon which you are eating dairy because we're all going to know not to eat that. Now the Shach adds in one more point at the end, and he says, V'lefiza, asur l'ha'alut lechem shel iser al ha'sholchan k'derach she'asur b'basar b'chalav. He adds this and he says, it would also be usher to put a forbidden bread on the table, just like it's usher to put meat together with dairy. So we're going to get next time to the topic of dairy bread. But he says in the same way that we can't put something clearly dairy on the same table as something that's clearly meat, even if it was something like disguised, such as forbidden bread, we can't put that on the table because that people are going to feel it is permitted to eat. They're not going to recognize the forbiddenness of it, and therefore it can come to be confusing. So that's just talking about putting meat on the same table as you're putting dairy, whether it's in a prep area, whether it's in an eating area. But now we're talking about the teacher's room. What do I mean? We're talking about the teacher's room. Let's say there is a communal space that everybody comes and they bring their lunch. What we're asking now is if some of the teachers bring milchigs and some of the teachers bring fleishigs, can they all sit down at the one big teacher's room table in order to eat their lunch? Because it's not one individual putting meat and dairy on the same table, but kosher meat and kosher dairy are going to end up at the same table. But is it a concern because it belongs to two separate people? That's what we're going to delve into now. So if we look in source number 25, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shnei ach san'in uchlin al shulchan achad. Two people who are unfamiliar with each other, ze basar v'ze gvina v'ein choshishin. If there are two people who are unfamiliar with each other and they sit down at the same table, one of them is eating meat and one of them is eating dairy, that is not going to be a problem. So the example would be if the freshman science teacher sat down at the same table as the senior Chumash table. They're not in the same department. They've never really met each other. One is new to the school. One's been here for many years and doesn't really talk to the new teachers. Then you would say it's fine. They can eat at the same table. Because there is a level of unfamiliarity between the two of them that one is not going to reach over and eat from the other person's plate. So now the Gemara is going to elaborate in source number 26 and explain this a little bit more to us. So why does it matter that they're unfamiliar with each other? Amar Rav Hanan bar Ami, Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela she'in makirin zeh et zeh. If the two people don't know each other, it doesn't make a difference what the two of them are eating. Aval makirin zeh et zeh aser. But if the two of them do know each other, then it would be aser for one to eat meat and one to eat dairy. Tanya nami hachi, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, bet ach san im shenit archu lefundak achad, zeba min hatafon, vizeba min hadarun, zeba bechati chato, vizeba begvinato. Ochlin al shulchan achad, zeba sar vizegvina, ein choshishin. So it repeats the statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in the Mishnah with a little bit more detail that there are two people who don't know each other. One came from the north, one came from the south. They arrive at one place, one brought their meat, one brought their dairy. They are able to eat at the same table. The Ein Choshishin, we're not worried about this. Velo asru ela b'tfisa achad. We would only make this usher if they're eating off of the same thing, like the same plate, the same exact surface. Tfisa achad silka da'atcha, ela ki'in tfisa achad. So it says, would you really think that two people who don't know each other are going to eat off of the same plate? That seems extremely strange. So it says, it doesn't have to be literally from the same plate, but in a way that it says, if it's from the same plate. Okay, so we have two different criteria here. We have the criteria of whether they know each other and or not, and we have the way in which they're eating, whether it's considered to be from one parcel or not from one parcel, from one plate or not from one plate. So what we're going to be talking about here is how to create a separation if they do know each other, making a separation will be enough to allow it, and to make it considered not only that there's a distance between the two of them, but that it's not considered to be befundakacha, that it's not be considered to be from one parcel. So Tosfos explains when it says ke'in tfisa achad, as if it's from one parcel, the im yish derech maspik lo have ke'in tfisa achad v'hachli dami. If there is an object that separates one from the other, is that enough to be considered that it's not part of one parcel? Kigon de'ika gova b'ini u'b'ini. We say such as where there is a medium-sized object, that there's height between the two of them. V'lefichach nohagin achshav k'shezeh uchal basar v'zeh uchal gvina al shulchan achad. Minichin lechem o kankan o shar kilim hafsik bin tehem. So he says, if there are two people at a table, even if they are unfamiliar with each other, we should separate it in some way, that either we should place something of height between them, a can, a bread, something of that sort, or they can each eat on a separate mapa. They can each eat on a separate tablecloth, and that would be enough to separate it, that it's not like they're eating from one parcel. So according to Tosfos, the separation in between the two diners will ensure that they don't eat from one another's plate. That is the idea between people who are familiar with each other and people who are unfamiliar with each other. If you sit down at a table with a random stranger and you see them eating something, hopefully all normal people are not going to reach over and take something from their plate. That would be quite strange. But if you're sitting at a table with a friend and you observe their lunch and you say, wow, that looks so delicious. And they say, oh, here, do you want to try a bite? You might forget that you're eating meat and they're eating dairy, and you might reach over and you might just taste something from their plate. That wouldn't be nearly as weird. So what we're saying here is that we not only have to make a separation in terms of we don't want it to be as if they're eating from one plate, one surface, one parcel, however you want to describe it, but we also need to create a cognitive heker, something that you notice that makes you remember that you shouldn't be sharing between the two of you. So the Shulchan Aruch rules like Tosfos, but the Rama adds in some specific details. So in source number 28, had aser laha aloto al shulchan dafka b'shnei b'nei adam hamakirim zeh b'zeh. When we're talking about the idea that they can't eat from the same table, we're talking about two people who know each other. Afilu hi makbi dimzalza. Even if they are particular that they would not usually share with one another. Aval achsan im she'in makirin zeza mutar. So we have three levels here. We have people who don't know each other, and that's mutter. Then we have people who know each other, but they're makbi dimzo bazo. They would be careful around one another. Would then we still say you need a distinction as if they were two people who are not makbi dimzo bazo? The afilu makirim imasu shum heker. But even if they do know each other, but they put up some sort of heker, some sort of noticeable thing on the table, kigun shekol achad ochel al mapashalo, like each person eating off an individual placemat, o afilu ochlim al mapachad v'notnim b'neim pat leheker mutar. But either if they set up on separate placemats or they put something as a heker, like a piece of bread between them, then it would be allowed. But the Rama adds in here, Dafka she'in ochlin min hapat hamuneach b'neihem leheker. The Rama says, just make sure that your heker is not edible. Because he says, if you're putting a piece of bread that you're both eating from, then that's not going to serve its purpose. First of all, you're both going to be eating from the same bread, which next time we'll talk about whether that's going to be a problem or not. But eventually the heker is going to disappear if you eat your way through it. But if you put something different, like a water bottle, or something else that it's not regular for it to be on the table, this can serve as a heker even if you're drinking from that water bottle. But if you put a menorah, like a candelabra, or any other thing on the table, to have a heker. This can serve as a heker. This can serve as a reminder. But you should remember then, if you're using a water bottle as your heker and one of you is drinking from it, that both of you shouldn't be drinking from it. Because then we have the meat lady drinking from the water bottle and we have the dairy lady drinking from the water bottle, and that's going to be a problem again. So the idea here is to create distance. So something like putting out two different placemats or putting something that's very recognizable between the two of you is going to serve as a reminder that these meals should remain separate. The Taz writes that you have to place the item there specifically for the purpose of being a heker. It can't just be something that happens to be on the table. Like, you can't just take your knife and say that because the knife is next to your plate, where the knife is always next to your plate, that that's going to serve as a heker. It has to be something that's specifically placed there in order to create the separation. Hainu gam kein b'makum shebelav hachi lo haita ha-menorah omedet sham, de'im lo kein, havei heker de'bekol shulchan tzricha ha-menorah liyot omedet al gav ha-shulchan. He said it has to be something that is immediately noticeable as not usually on the table. And it can't just be, if you usually have a menorah, like a candelabra sitting on the table, then the menorah cannot be your heker, even though that was the example that was used by the Shulchan Aruch. Because we have to do something that's noticeable here as being a heker and not just stam being on the table. This idea also comes up in Hilchos Nida, that we talk about having a heker on the table. Sometimes we talk about then a house that's a little bit flying with kids and a lot going on. Sometimes it's hard to find something that's not already on the table, because the table can become quite a dumping ground. But then you just put it there with intentionality. You take a specific item, put it on the table between the two of you, and you say, this is going to be the heker, so that when you're eating meat and they're eating dairy, you recognize that this is there to block one from another. And in case just it wasn't clear before, it doesn't have to be something that would literally block. Like, it doesn't have to, when we said it has to have height, we mean it has to be something substantial. You can't say there's crumbs in the middle of the table and that's the separation. It has to be something that has a little bit to it so that it's recognizable as something that's there to separate. It doesn't have to physically block you. Like, it can still be possible to reach from one person to the next, but we're just making it that the person will be reminded and they won't do so. The Pisklei Tshuva adds that if two individuals are sitting far enough from each other, they would have to stand up and walk over to the other person, then in that situation, you don't need a hacker. As it says in Source 30, V'katav ha'bayis chadash b'shem Rabbi Shlomo Luria, to be yoshvim rechukim zeh mizeh, that if one is sitting very far from another, that if you, it's far enough that you wouldn't be able to just reach out your arm and reach the other person's plate, then that is far enough that you don't need to have a hacker. We don't think people are going to be so forgetful that they're going to stand up, walk over to their friend's plate, take something from their friend's plate, come back to their chair, and end up eating the two together. We're reasonable here, but we're trying to work within human nature, which is to sometimes be forgetful, but not that forgetful. So if no sign or reminder was placed on the table, Rabbi Akiva Eger says that there's one thing that you cannot do, and that is that you cannot appoint someone as a witness. So you can't take your meat and sit down in the teacher's room next to the person who's eating dairy and just tell a third teacher, remind us not to eat from each other's plates. That doesn't work, because in that moment, the third person might forget to be watchful. So we have to have a hacker. We can't have a witness in this situation. So he says, in a situation where you forgot to put a hacker, you cannot appoint a witness and say, watch over us to make sure we don't eat from each other. Rather, the most lenient we can say is if there's any sort of separation, one person's eating on a tablecloth and one person's not. One person is eating on top of a napkin and one person is not. But we can't say, you can't just appoint someone to be your shomer and to watch over you. So now that was two people who are eating at the same table. But now we're back to one person. Let's say, this is a situation that sometimes happens. Let's say you are cooking for Shabbos. So it's Friday morning, you've been cooking all morning. You have the food, you finally take everything out of the oven. You put it down on your dining room table to cool. You lay out the towels and everything's on top of the towels and everything's sitting there to cool. You realize that you haven't eaten in hours. I don't know if anyone can relate to that, that on Fridays you just a little bit forget to eat. So you finally sit down and you make yourself a sandwich and you sit down to eat. So now you're eating dairy at the table where all of this meat is out cooling down. Is that going to be a problem? So the Pri Megadim tells us in source number 32, Katav b'shel rutshuvos beis Yaakov, What is the halacha if a person wishes to eat dairy alone, but there is also meat on the table? So here the Sefer summarizes a few opinions in the orange box. According to the Chachmas Adam, this is permitted, as the concern that one may eat from the food of another is not relevant here. However, the Hafla forbids eating dairy there and explains that it's permitted where two people do not know each other, since the other will remind him not to do so if he wishes to eat his food. But here there is no one else who will remind him not to consume the meat at the same time as the dairy. So we're saying, why is it okay to eat meat at the same table as someone eating dairy that you don't know? Because assumingly, if you were to reach over and try to take something from their plate, they would remind you not to eat from their plate. But here we're saying that the meat is unattended. So there's no one here to remind you if you were to reach over and take the meat that you shouldn't be doing so. The Yalkut Yosef holds that in this case, if one also appoints a shomer, then it is permitted to eat dairy there if no one places a sign. So the options with that are you can also put a sign, something that distinguishes between you and the meat. Or possibly it's just not allowed. Or for that situation, you can appoint a witness. So I can say to my husband when I sit down to eat, just say to him, remind me that I can't taste the Shabbos food while I'm eating my sandwich. So even though for two people, we wouldn't expect a third person to be a watchful eye, when it comes to one person and just food that's sitting there, for that you can appoint a witness. But now we're asking the question, okay, right now you're actively eating dairy, so it's a little bit less likely that you're going to reach over and taste the Shabbos food in the middle of when you're eating dairy. But what about somebody who's fleishig? They ate meat 3 hours ago, they wait 6 hours, and now they're going to sit down, and the opposite is true. They were cooking for Shavuos, and there's cheesecakes, yummy, delicious-looking cheesecakes, waiting for them on the table. So they're fleishig, they sit down at the table, and they see these delicious cheesecakes. Is that allowed? So katav b'shelus tshuva space. Yaakov d'misha achal basar shetzarich l'shahut shisha lo yashav itzal misha ochal gvina shema yoshitlo. He shouldn't sit down next to a person who is eating dairy because he might reach out and take from him. V'lo ra'itin is harim bazeh gam hu gezera legezera kulei hai lo gazrinan. So sorry, my example wasn't perfect. It was rather if you are fleishig and you sit down at the table and someone is eating dairy, is that allowed? So we could say that it's not allowed because what if you were to reach over and try from the food of that other person? But how the Prima Gadim concludes is that would be a gezeira on a gezeira, that it's already a gezeira that we should wait after eating meat before eating dairy. So then to say, not only can one not eat dairy after eating meat, but one who is waiting between meat and dairy can't even sit at the table eating as someone eating dairy because they might reach over and try the dairy. That's going to be a gezeira on a gezeira, and we don't make that many gezeirot. That's not necessary. That's too far of a distance that we already say that that's not necessary. So a person who is fleishig can sit at the same table as someone who is milchig and be expected to remember that they are in the process of waiting their time after eating meat. So now the last topic that we are going to cover within this topic is placing meat and dairy in one container. Now, this can apply when, let's say, you are packing a lunchbox for yourself, for a child, you're using a lunchbox, and perhaps you're going to have something dairy for breakfast and you're packing that up, and you're going to have something meat for lunch. So you're putting two things in the same box. Or as we're going to expand it at the end, it can even apply to something as large as a refrigerator. Can you put both meat and dairy into the same refrigerator? And if so, how? I don't know if I shared this story yet, but when I was younger, one of my good friends, they remodeled their house and they put in two of everything. So there was basically two sides of the kitchen, which now is usual, but at that time I thought was like the craziest thing. I thought they had like a double kitchen. It was so cool. So they put in even two refrigerators, which I thought was like super cool, but I would always forget which refrigerator was which. But they also put in two garbage cans, which all the adults realized was one for garbage and one for recycling. But me being, I don't know, 5 years old, assumed that like everything else in the kitchen, one was for meat and one was for dairy. So when I accidentally threw out something dairy in what I had assumed to be the meat garbage can, I was in a panic. And I ran over to my friend's mother and told her that I put a dairy garbage in the meat garbage can. And everybody laughed and told me that really it was just for recycling. But that's why when I was reading about this, when I was preparing and I was reading about the two refrigerators, I remembered the two refrigerators leading me to think that there was two garbage cans. So can you put meat and dairy into the same refrigerator? So if we start off with the Shulchan Aruch, Mutar litin b'toch teva kad shel basar etel shel chalav. You are permitted to put a container of meat next to one of dairy within a box. So let's say you have a lunchbox and within it you are going to put something dairy in a Ziploc and you're going to put something meat in a Ziploc. That would be allowed. The Taz explains in source number 34, Mutar litein b'toch teva, why is this allowed? De basar im chalav zihiri inche lo yipol zemizeh. You are going to seal them both well, and therefore we're not concerned that one is going to fall into the other. You wouldn't want your dairy cereal to fall into your meat sandwich. That would be gross either way. So you're going to, if you're storing them together, you're going to make sure to close both well, and therefore we're not worried that one is going to fall out into the other. But the Ramah writes that ideally one should avoid doing so unless it was really absolutely necessary. If we can, we should be machmir. So if there's no need, let's say you're checking out of the grocery store and you have enough meat to fill up one bag and you have enough dairy products to fill up another bag, better to do that. Put one in one in the other, rather than mix it together. But the Shach says, the Rama sounds, even though he's telling us to only do this lechatchila, it still sounds a little bit strict. So the Shach explains, dafka b'megulim. But the Shach explains what is the Rama talking about. He's not talking about checking out of the grocery store. He's talking about two things that are open. That if you have something dairy and something meat, you can theoretically store them together if they're both open, but ideally you really should not do that because then we're going to risk one potentially falling into the other. So if the foods are covered, though, it seems that according to the Shach, that it is permitted to place them next to each other inside a storage utensil. Based on these sources, it is permitted to place meat and dairy foods next to each other inside. Is it permitted to place meat and dairy foods next to each other inside a refrigerator? According to the Shulchan Aruch, it seems that it should always be permitted as long as they are in separate containers of some sort. So in the way that most of us use our refrigerator, you have the bottle of milk, you have the container of chicken, and both are in sealed, closed things. Put separately, they're not touching one another. There's no chance of things coming out into one another. The Yalkut Yosef rules, though, that for Sfardim, one may place meat and dairy into containers into the refrigerator, even if they are not covered. So you can put two things that are open, though he adds that it's proper to cover at least one of the containers. So that this is described in source number 37. Mitzad ha-din mutar l'chatchila l'hiniach mitzarchei mazon b'mekarer. From the basic letter of the law, mutar l'chatchila, you are allowed to put different foods into the refrigerator. Kli she'yish bo tafshil basar, one container that has flesh eggs, etel kli she'yish bo chalav, next to another container that has milk eggs. Ve'in lachush shema yipol mitafshil basar l'tafshil chalav. We're not worried that the meat is going to fall into the dairy container. O lehafach, shekol ish nizhar bazeh, because people are careful about this, shelo yiplu zeh mizeh, that it won't fall from one to the next. Ve'kol shekin, shebedi'evin im hiniach echad al hasheni eino asor. So he says, but bedi'evin, if one is placed on top of each other, we wouldn't forbid it. She'ein chol sheshin shema nafal me'echad l'sheni, because even if you put one on top of the other, this happens to me. Sometimes I have multiple 9x13 tins in my fridge. They're both covered. And let's say, ideally, I shouldn't put the dairy one on top of the meat one. But if I do, we shouldn't be worried because both are sealed and we still wouldn't be worried that one thing would fall to the next. V'chei mutar lahaniach kli sheyish bo chalav etel kli sheyish bo melach. We would also be able to put a container with dairy next to a container with salt. Mashen it's Arnu lahaniach b'mekarer mitzarchei basar liad mitzarchei chalav eino rak im hamitzarchim mechunim. That which we permitted placing meat produce next to dairy produce in the refrigerator, that is not only when the produce is covered, but according to Maran, according to the Shulchan Aruch, yishal hakel bazeh gam im hamitzarchim mugalim, even if the produce is uncovered. Ulam nachum lahadif yoter lechasot echad mehem. So he says, for Sfardim, as we read in the summary before, for Sfardim, we would be allowed to put two uncovered things next to each other, but ideally, at least one of them should be covered. But now the Sefer HaKashrus makes a very, very practical point, which is going to wrap up our discussion on refrigerators. So what we said is, l'chachila, it's fine. You can put things in the refrigerator, meat, dairy, but keep them covered. Make sure that there's no risk of one thing falling from one to the next. Even uncovered is going to be okay, but ideally, we should at least have one of them covered and preferably have both of them covered. But the Sefer HaKashrus in source number 8 and source number 39 gives us specific details that I found very relevant. Mutar lahaniach zeh mitzad zeh kli o ariza segurim hitiv sheyish betucham chalavi o besari afilu shneihem bekufsa achad. You can put meat things next to dairy things, even if they're together in one box. O al gabei oto madaf lechachila yesh levdok shehim segurim o mechufsim hitiv. You should just make sure that everything is covered well. Vila inyan mekarer v'makpi. But when it comes to a refrigerator or a freezer, la'ayel parak aleph si'ifim nun hei through nun zayin. Mumlatz l'rakiz et kol mutarei hachalav b'mekira nifredet o michal miyuchadet. He says, ideally, when it comes to a refrigerator, you should put all of the dairy products into one specific drawer, which most refrigerators have. They have a dairy drawer in the same way that they have like produce drawers. There's often a dairy drawer. Kedei lahavtiach shelo yitpatfu chalav o mutarav l'avar sha'ar ha'machalim v'hakilim shebimekorer. Because dairy products can sometimes leak. There can be like some juices, some stuff that comes out of the dairy products like cheese or different things like that. Yogurts, those spill all the time. That's why this is very relevant. You want to keep that in a separate drawer because those are things that are very drippy. You want to make sure that they're not going to drip onto the flesh eggs. Chovah l'targel shelo lahaniach ma'achalim kamot shehim o bekilim patuchim al gabei hamedafim ha'alyonim shebemekarer o al makpi. And also be smart. If you're leaving something open, don't put it on the bottom shelf where anything above it can drip into it. If you're going to do something open, put it on the top shelf so that there's no possibility of anything dripping into it. Kimokin, im lahaniach ma'achalim chashufim b'midafim hatachtunim. So you shouldn't put exposed foods on the lower shelves. And I liked the footnote that was put here. This is especially true in households where children may take food from the refrigerator on their own and may not be as careful as adults with regards to spills. If I say that that is one of the most practical halachot I have ever read, that would not be an exaggeration. That if you are in a, we're talking about here in a situation where we can make sure that everything is kept clean. So if you know that there is the likelihood that someone else is going to go into your refrigerator who's not going to be so careful, we can't just say, oh, we're allowed to put meat and dairy in the same refrigerator. We're allowed to do it based on the idea that they're not going to end up mixed. But if you're going to put yourself in a situation where it's very probable that something can leak or spill into something else, then that is going to end up being problematic. So just to recap, we are trying here to not only separate between meat and dairy in terms of time, in terms of digestion, but also in terms of proximity and trying to eliminate the possibility of making mistakes. Therefore, we talk about storing meat and milk and how we can store them in proximity to one another. We talk about placing them on the same table in terms of a table we eat on and a table we prep on. And we talked at length about the idea of two individuals eating at the same table. When one's eating meat, one's eating dairy, whether they're familiar with each other, whether they're unfamiliar with each other, and how they can make a distinction between the two of them so that they can be allowed to eat at the same table. And lastly, we return to the idea of storage when we talked about refrigerators and the idea of placing meat next to dairy. And we said, as long as we're keeping it at a distance at which we can be sure that they won't contaminate one another, then it would be okay.